If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. Amen. He cares about everything about you. Every hair of your head's numbered. He knows all about you, cares about you. Bible said you can cast all, A-L-L, all your cares on Him. Whatever's bothering you, whatever your care is, you cast it all on Him. And that, of course, when you cast it, it means that you release it. You just let Him have it. You cast it on Him. Turn to Acts chapter 11, please. Thank you, Eric and family and Mikey. And thank the Lord for Peyton and Miss Laura. In spite of that oral surgery she just had, she has lupus and she's been battling that, and it causes a body chemistry. They told her sometimes that might happen, that she broke a tooth off right there during Christmas and couldn't get in. They couldn't get her in nowhere. So she suffered with that about 3 or 4 days before they could ever do oral surgery. Had to replace a bone, and she's just getting over that. And Eric made her get up here and sing anyhow. But he's a kind-hearted man. He told her from now on he'd get a hammer and crack the black walnuts. She wouldn't have to do it with her teeth. Amen. Just want to be a blessing. Amen. Well, thank the Lord for you being here this morning. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Thank the Lord. Last Sunday I preached to you on first things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He said, if you'll seek Me first, if you'll put Me first and seek Me first, then everything else will fall in line. You'll have everything that you need. Now, God will adjust your wants. You get to the place. I remember years ago when we were young and so excited about Christmas and gifts and all this other stuff, you know. And I remember Regina's mama would always say, I don't want anything for Christmas. I just want everybody to be happy. Just want to be here. And I know now what she's talking about. You get to the place where you don't care so much about things as you do about relationships and people and loving people. And so it with a Christian, you get to the place, you come as you mature in the Lord. It's not so much just His blessings on you, but it's His fellowship. And you don't have to have as many things. He'll meet all your needs, but you don't need as much as you used to. Somebody said He won't give you all your wants, but He'll adjust your wants to where you don't want everything. You know, you only want what really matters, what really makes a difference. And thank God for that. And then there was another verse. I was dealing with the Sermon on the Mount and pulled that one out. The Lord put it on my heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And also on the Sermon on the Mount, He said, you're not to judge. And He said, often you look at a brother and you'll condemn him and you'll talk about the mote, the little piece of, just a little bitty piece of sand or something that's in his eye, and as a fault or something wrong. And He said, you don't consider you've got a beam in your eye, which is just, you know, just a big log. It's just more obvious, far more obvious than just the little bitty thing in his eye. You've got more problems than he's got. And yet you'll be critical of him and try to point out that. But He said, first remove the beam that's in your own eye, and then you'll be able to see. And when you come to the place, like Paul pointed out to us, that when you help somebody, he that's overtaken in a fault, we're to restore him as a brother. And but we consider our own selves when we do that, that we're not perfect. We don't go self-righteously to help him. We go as a brother who's been through suffering and still going through it, who's not perfect and stick, but we will be one of these days. And then we read that passage of Scripture where it said, if you come to the altar and you remember that your brother's got aught against you, leave your offering and go first be reconciled to your brethren. So first things first. First you write with one another, right? First you deal with your own problems and then try to be a blessing to somebody else. First you seek the kingdom of God. But this morning I have another first, and I don't know if I'll do this for all of December or not, but there's quite a few more that I might pick that I've looked at that I don't know what the Lord will do. But come with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter number 11. Here in Acts chapter 11, the folk in Jerusalem who knew the Lord, there's become a great persecution. They've been scattered everywhere. And notice in verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. That is some of the folks who were at Jerusalem when Pentecost came, and then when the persecution came, and they've come back. They were from Cyprus and Cyrene, and now they've come back, some of them, and they've shared the gospel. And notice what verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And the tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which is Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And when he came and he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all with one purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. And departed Barnabas unto Tarsus for to seek Paul. Saul had been saved, of course, but he was Paul, and he was Saul, and now he's going to be Paul, but he calls him Saul here. And he had some confrontations, and he leaves, and he goes back home for a period of time. And now Barnabas goes to get Saul and bring him to Antioch. Verse 26, and when he'd found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass at that whole year they assembled in the hills in the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. I won't go on, but what happens is they grow in the Lord, and then they hear about the problems in Jerusalem, and so they raise money, raise means to send back. And in verse 30 it says, "And which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." They go back with that offering. They get a burden for the other Christians back in Jerusalem, and they send them an offering. But now notice verse number 26. In the phrase, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. I want to take two little words out of there and get you to underline it for me. Christians first. First things first. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God to help me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for your mercy and grace. Thank you, our Father, for the wonderful singing of the Otis family and the hymns this morning Brother Brad led. God, for touching Sister Juanita. God, thank you for that wonderful song. God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to help me. God, give me your anointing in these few moments. Our Father, as we think of this thought about Christians first. And Father, I pray now, the Lord, you deal with hearts. If there's a man or woman, a boy or girl in this place that's not saved, I pray, God, you'd convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and draw them by your Holy Spirit of God and save them for Jesus' sake. And then, Father, I would pray for all of our friends in the media audience, the same prayer. God, save those who may not know Christ. And those, our Father, who join us now by the means of, the YouTube and other places, Lord, that are watching and listening. And God, I pray that they'll have a worship experience with the Lord. I pray already that they've been blessed by the singing. And God, I pray that they'll be touched now by the Word of God. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm glad for what God did. I'm glad for what God did when He gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're excited about beginning a brand new year serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a great, great service on last Sunday and last Wednesday morning. And last Wednesday night, Brother Tim brought an absolute awesome message. I thought it was a great thing he had shared with you and with the Sunday school class. The first verses, amen, all the way through. And it all ties together. God, the Holy Ghost put this Bible together. But here's a first I want you to talk about. First things first, Christians first. It said they were called Christians first in Antioch. Notice it says back in this passage of Scripture that they came and they preached the Word of God. And then many believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here at Antioch, it says the disciples were called Christians first. Now, just real quickly, the difference between a disciple and an apostle, when you read them, were the apostles disciples? Yes. But are all apostles, are all Christians disciples, apostles? No, not necessarily. Because here's the difference. The word disciple means somebody who is a follower and a learner. It is somebody, there were disciples of Christ. They followed Him. They watched Him. They saw Him. He said, He'd seen me, seen the Father. So they watched Him. But they also listened to Him and they learned from Him. And they were just like me and you, basically. They were just Christians. And they were people who followed the Lord and they were learners. And then the word apostle has a little bit of added emphasis to it. The word apostle means a sent one. And so they were those who He chose to anoint in a special way and send them out. Paul is an apostle to the Gentiles. Barnabas was called an apostle. And then all the others that you find in the Bible, they were apostles. They were sent ones. They were ones that God anointed for a particular purpose. But here we're talking about, here's what it says. It says the disciples. That doesn't mean just those who were what we consider Peter, James, and John, you know, what we call the apostles. It means all the Christians, all the believers, rather, were called Christians. And so today we know Christ and we're called Christians. Our good friend, Brother Jimmy, who has a ministry of passing out tracts and witnessing, he often starts his conversation like this: I am a Christian. Now, he's not boastful about that, but it gives reason for what he's about to say and do. He's a Christian. Christians first. I love to fish. I'm probably one of the world's best fishermen. So far as fishing, not necessarily a catcher, but I love to fish. But I'm a Christian first, you understand? Many of you love to do other things, and many of you have different occupations. We have nurses in here and doctors in here and lawyers in here. We have people who are farmers in here and people who are retired. But whatever you are, if you're saved, you're a Christian first. We have some in here who may be of one political persuasion and some of another. Most of you, I would think, would be fairly conservative in your political views, and you may consider yourself in this party or that party or an independent or whatever, but you are a Christian first. And that ought to dictate everything else that happens in our life. Everything that goes on in my life, whether it's in politics or where it's in work or it's in labor, I'm a Christian first. And when I go to my job, I may be a welder, or I may be a fireman, or I may be this or that, but I'm a Christian first. And that will cause me to do my job differently than most other people, because I am to do what the Word of God says. I do everything as unto the Lord. And I don't care who my boss man is, what the working circumstance is, I'm a Christian first. And I don't get mad, and I don't cuss, and I don't do what other folks do. I don't live and walk, like he said, like the Gentiles walk in the lust of their flesh and of their life. But I'm a Christian first. Whatever I do is to be Christian first. Now, why did they call them Christians first? Why? Well, there were people prior to them, a few years spanned in there from Pentecost. Why did they call them Christians there? I believe it's in the divine providence of God. Some people said the word Christian means Christ-like or little Christians, and they were Christ-like. But what does it mean to be a Christian? Does it mean you joined a Baptist church or an Assembly of God or a Church of God or whatever? Does it mean that you believe the Bible? You can believe in the Bible and die and go to hell. Many people believe in the Bible. The Bible said the devil believes and trembles, but he's not going to be in heaven. Did you know the devil believes this book? He knows it so. He's been around a long time. He believes the Bible. You say, well, I believe in the virgin birth. He does too. I believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. Well, he does too. He saw it. He was there. He tried to prevent it, tried to stop it, tried to keep him in that grave, and they couldn't do it. He believes, but you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so here are three things real quick that made them Christians and that would cause us to know that we were Christian. Number one, they were Christians because of their faith. Notice what it said in verse number 21. And the hand of the Lord was upon them, and great numbers believed and turned unto the Lord. Now, you can say, I believe this, I believe that. But if your belief doesn't turn you, you've never really believed in your heart. The Bible said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Not in your head, but in your heart. And a heart belief affects a person's whole being. It changes you. Holy Ghost of God convicts you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It changes you about what you think about yourself. You don't think of yourself any longer as being as good as anybody else. You're as good as the preacher. You're good as the deacon. You're better than this guy. You're better than that lady. You see yourself lost and on your way to hell. You see yourself as a sinner, condemned. And when you come to know Christ, you turn. There has to be a turning. That has to do with repentance. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn into the Lord. And so their faith, they exercise faith in the Lord. Why did they turn? They turned because they were sinners, but they turned because they knew He could do something about their sin. They were lost, but they knew He could save them. And they knew they were on their way to hell, but if they would turn to Him, He would take them to heaven. That was His promise. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And my dear friend, they're Christians because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not because they did this or did that or did the other. This reading, when I first read this, they had just heard the gospel from those friends who came back from Jerusalem, and they told them the good news that Jesus Christ had suffered, bled, and died, and was buried, rose again, and the Spirit of God came on the day of Pentecost, and thousands had gotten saved. They turned from their sin and turned to the Savior, and the Bible said, and many believed, great numbers believed, and turned to the Lord. Have you ever turned to the Lord? You say, well, I decided to join church. I decided to be baptized. That's not it. You go to the Lord first, then you get baptized. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you believe, you get baptized. Believer's baptism. You get saved first, and then you get baptized. You ought to be in a church. Everybody ought to be in a good Bible-believing church. You ought to read the Word of God. You ought to grow in the Lord. You ought to do all those things. But my dear friend, you got to be a Christian first. You got to know Christ first. You got to be born again first before you can ever be called a Christian. And just because you align yourself with a Christian church doesn't mean that you're a Christian. You've got to come to the Lord. They turned to the Lord. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care where you are. You can be here, you can be in Africa, you can be in Bangladesh, you can be in Australia. But wherever people are and they believe and turn to the Lord, they become Christians. They trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And their sins are all forgiven. And the Spirit of God comes into them crying, Abba, Father. And you get to go to heaven and you get to live for Him. But now, if that happens, the second thing is true. When Barnabas came, he preached to them and challenged them that they would, verse 23, that they would cleave unto the Lord. They cleave unto the Lord. They were Christians not only because of their faith, but because of their following. A disciple is a follower, and you come by faith to trust Him as Savior and Lord. But when you get saved, and if it's something really happens in your life, you become a follower of Christ. You become a learner. You see, you get saved, you're a brand new baby in Christ Jesus. You don't know everything. You don't know all this Bible. And I've been saved a long time, but I don't know all this Bible. But as you grow in the Lord, and as you follow, you get closer to Him. You become like Paul. Paul said that I might know Him. I want to know Him. I want to be a learner. I want to follow Him. I want to learn about His power. I want to learn about His peace. I want to learn about His promises. I want to know more about His person. And as I follow Him and study Him, and my dear friend, anybody who has exercised faith and really come to Him, they have an appetite for the things of God. They want to be in the house of God. They want to be where the Word of God's taught. They want to study the Word of God on their own. They want to follow the Lord and fellowship with Him. There's something inside of you that caused you to do that. This morning, Brother Barry was sharing with us once again about the wonderful typology about the star and the wise men that came. But it was the star that led them. And it didn't lead them to the king, and it didn't lead them to the palace. It led them to the Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God, He didn't quit drawing you and leading you and dealing with you when you get saved. He works in your heart all the time, and He causes you to work. We pray in the Spirit, and we walk in the Spirit, and we sing in the Spirit, and everything we do is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And they were followers of Christ. And by following Christ, they began to be Christ-like. They began to live like Christ. And to show off that they were Christians first. They had been farmers, or they had been merchants, or they'd been this or that, but now they are Christian first. The first thing in their life, the first priority is their relationship with Christ. And now that they are Christians, every part of their life is dictated by who they are. They're Christians. And it does affect us. It does affect the way we do any of our business. It ought to affect the way we do and things that we do for pleasure, enjoyment. God fashioned this world. He created this world. And there are times that He wants us to come apart and rest a while. I don't believe He created the oceans or the streams or the mountains so that we wouldn't go there. I don't think it's anything wrong. We worship Him, but we're Christians first. And when we go and we look at the ocean, we think about Him as the Creator. And the fact that in the depths of the sea, all our sins are there. When we go through the beautiful mountains to see the star, we don't talk about Mother Nature. We talk about the Creator. We're Christians first. We recognize who it is. When we come to a time of sickness, we're Christians first, because we believe that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We believe that God said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We believe that God, our Savior, is the great physician, and that He'll do in us and through us what needs to be done. We believe that we're Christians first. We're Christians first in regard to sickness and problems and sorrow. And we're Christians first in regard to difficult family relationships. We're Christians first. Christians first. We're going to be Christians first to love and forgive and to be kind and to show mercy. We're Christians first. We all have rights. Thank God for these unalienable rights that God gave us of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. But we're Christians first. We have Christians first. That's why He said, sometimes you need to prefer your brother. You come up to a four-way stop. That's the most interesting thing. If you ever want to have a good time, park off somewhere by a four-way stop and get off to the side and watch it. It's like a cartoon, you know. And they go, you look like it. I'm going to go. You're supposed to go, I'm supposed to go. But we're Christians first. Regardless of what we're doing or where we are, we're Christians first. And everything we do is dictated by who we are. And they were followers of Christ, and they were called Christians because they act like Christ. They act like Christ. They had a passion for people. They loved people. They had a burden for people. They didn't have a big seminar on giving missions or anything, but right here in this passage of Scripture, just a few verses, they hear of the Lord, they believe the Lord, they come to the Lord, they cleave to the Lord, they follow the Lord, and then they begin to give to the Lord. And all of that just happens. You grow in the Lord, you understand your responsibility as a good steward, that God has given you everything you have, and you never even think about that God's given you everything. It all belongs to Him. And so when it comes time to take the offering to give, you don't do grudgingly, you do it cheerfully. God's blessed us. You can't outgive the Lord. You can't. God's gracious, and He's promised us if we'll be faithful and bring in the tithes and offering, He'll open us up windows of heaven that He'll pour out. He said, prove me. Just prove me. Just prove me. I've never met a person who was a faithful giver or a tither who was sorry that they were doing it. I've never met one who was grudgingly doing it. You find somebody that's faithful, and they do it out of a heart of love and because they're a follower of Christ. And every one of them, to 100% of them, will tell you, absolutely, you can't outgive the Lord. That's proof positive. But they were also called Christians, not only because of their faith and because of their following, but they were called Christians because of their fellowship. They said of Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, behold how He loved him. And Jesus said this, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. God put us in a church family. Now, why did He do that? Can you be saved and not be a member of a local church? You can get saved anywhere in the world. I've already told you that. But God ordained that you should not forsake the assembling of yourselves, but forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He said, the closer you get to my return, He said, you ought to spend more time together. More time in the house of God, more time fellowship. But these people love to be together. If I go preach a revival and I go in and I see them and they're cordial, but when the first night when you say amen, boy, they're scattered like a covey of quail. They won't hardly talk to one another. They're gone and just came in and done the duty and got gone. But on in the week, as God begins to deal with people, and I see them in the altar, and I see them weeping, and I see them going to one another and talking to one another, and for the week, so when you dismiss, nobody leaves. They just stay around in fellowship, and you can see them just loving one another and laughing and hugging necks and just praising God. You can see them caring about one another and praying one for another and asking about family members. That's that fellowship. That's that body ministry. And when they looked at these people who were so different, and the average Gentile was grabbing everything he could. It was all about me and mine, and I'm going to get yours and this, that, and the other. And when they got saved, it completely changed. They love to be around the people of God. They love the fellowship. They love to be together. And they had that kindred spirit. They loved to worship together. They loved to sing together. They loved just to spend time together. Because they had that kindred spirit, they were called Christians, plural, because they were a family. And a Christian has a family. You're in this fellowship. I had one of my deacons, he's a pastor now, Brother Mickey Alcorn. He got a job with L.R. Grace Ink Company many years ago. Brother John would probably be familiar with that. I guess the company's still in business. But he got a great job. He lived there in Eden, North Carolina, right near Reidsville, where I pastored at. And he'd always worked kind of local in the area. They got his job. And boy, it was a good job, good paying job. God blessed him with it. But he had to travel. He had to go all over everywhere. Sometimes they'd send him away for months at a time for different things. And I remember one time they sent him away to a certain area and he couldn't find a church home. I don't know how many times he called me. He called me every day just about. And when he came back, he stood up in front of the church and got to crying. He said, y'all don't know what it means to have a church family. To know that you got Christian friends and you got this bond and you got this fellowship and to get to meet with you 3 times a week. And he said, I'm off out there and trying to work and this, that, and the other. And couldn't find anywhere hardly to go to church. Couldn't find whether they were cold or this, that, or the other. And nobody would speak to you and this, that, and the other. But he said, this fellowship. And I tell you what COVID did for us as much as anything else. Not only took some of our loved ones to heaven. Not only did it wreck some bodies and people still hadn't recovered from it. But it broke fellowship. People are dying at home because of no fellowship. They're not dying of COVID. They're dying because they can't be around their family. They can't be around Christians. And when God saves you, you have faith, but you become a follower. But you have a fellowship with a family in Christ. You have a kindred spirit. I am so glad for the body of Christ. We went to New York City. I was texting Brother Nathaniel, and he was talking about something other than I said, well, I'm on my way to New York City. He said, text back, he said, on purpose? And I said, yeah, on purpose. I said, it's a Christmas gift to me and Regina from her sister. And I said, we're going. And I'm going to tell you something. You can hear what you want to about COVID wrecking New York and everything else, but I'm going to tell you, it hadn't affected the crowds at all. I mean, just everything there sold out. And if you've never been, you might want to go one time. But if you go, you'll see that there's hundreds of plays on Broadway and off Broadway and this, that, and the other. But people, my goodness gracious, the people, so many people there. But so little fellowship there. No kindred spirit. You get with them one-on-one in a cab or somewhere, and you'll find how cold and hard they are. Bitter, angry, no fellowship, really don't care. But in this place, it's different. In the house of God, it's different. And they stood off and watched that crowd who had been just like them, driven, motivated, all about money, all about pleasure, all about lust, all about sin. And now they're completely changed. And now they are fellowship and a family. And they called them Christians first at Antioch. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Christians first. We're Christians first. Before you start demanding your rights, before you start raising your voice, before you start getting mad and angry at a clerk, you're Christian first. When things happen and people mistreat you and say things about you, remember you're Christian first. When Satan will allure you to defile your body in some way, alcohol, drugs, illicit sex, immorality, adultery. You're a Christian first. First of all, he loved me and died for me. And I believe that he died and was buried and rose again. I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When tragedy comes and heartache comes and difficult things come and everybody else is wringing their hands and throwing their hands up and they are fearful and afraid and can't sleep at rest, you're a Christian first. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God's going to take care of you. Remember, you're a Christian first. You're his. You're his property. It's not up to you. It's up to him. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I love that song. I know who holds tomorrow. Christians first. Are you a Christian? Not a church member, not been baptized, not a believer in the Bible, but a Christian. Christians do go to church. They do believe in the Bible. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian? Have you exercised faith and realized that you were lost and on your way to hell, and you turned to the Lord? Believed and turned to the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. Do you believe in him first? Christians first. Are you a follower? The most unhappy person in Johnson County is not a lost man. They're dead in trespasses and sin. They don't know any better. But unhappy people are out of the will of God that are Christians. They're not following. I've been looking at that verse, another first. He said, you have left your first love. Love first. Your first love. Your love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people have taken that verse and make it mean some type of Christian service. They might say it means soul winning. It might mean church attendance. No, it means him. So when you've forsaken your first love, it means you don't love him like you used to. If you love him like you ought to, you'll witness. If you love him like you ought to, you'll go to church. But you may be a Christian this morning, but your love's got cold and you're not following as closely as you used to. Remember the story about those who, when he was arrested, the Bible said there were some who followed him afar off. You may be following him afar off. You're not as close as you used to be. But they were called Christians because they were a fellowship. They were a family. Do you love your church family? Do you love Christians? Man, I'm going to tell you, the sweetest, the best people in Johnson County are right here in this building. When that football player got hurt the other day, they prayed on the field and they prayed in the locker room. They prayed in the press box. Some of the announcers actually prayed on the air. But I'm glad that there are folk in this church who will love you and they'll pray for you every day. They don't wait till you have a tragedy. They don't wait till you have a problem. They pray one for another and they love one another and they forgive one another. There's something different about these believers. They are a family. God wants you to be a part of his family. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We are a family. I'm thankful that Christians are part of a family, a fellowship. Maybe you've been praying about a church home. Maybe you're not a Christian, but maybe you are a Christian, but you're not following as close. Or maybe once again, some of you were not able to be here the first Sunday of the new year. Maybe you'd just love to have an opportunity to once again to come and bow around this altar and thank him that you're for your faith and that you're able to follow him and for your family. And just say, Lord, I want to love you and serve you. I want to get closer to you in 2023 than I've ever been. I'd encourage you to do that. Let's stand together. I'll have a brief prayer. Then I want you to obey Christ. If I can help you, I'll be down near the front. If you feel like the Lord's leading you to move your membership, or if you feel like you want to get saved, or God's dealing with you, there are people who pray with you, I'll help you. Or maybe you just want to come get around the altar, just slip up and say, Lord, I am sure glad. I don't ever take for granted the fact that I'm part of a family of fellowship, or my faith, or the fact that I can follow you. Christians first. I'm praying that God will burn that in your heart and mind all this week. Before you say anything, you're a Christian first. Before you do anything, you're a Christian first. Before you think anything, you're a Christian first. Before you look at anything, you're a Christian first. Before you listen to any kind of thing, you're a Christian first. If you think about that, you're a witness for Christ. You're Christian first. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for letting me be in the house of the Lord. It's a family of fellowship here. Lord, I'm glad, God, for the Ollis family being with us, because they're part of the family. For friends who've come in to visit this morning, they're part of the family that know the Lord. For our church family here, and so many of our church family that's still sick, not able to be here. But Father, our vast media audience, they're part of the family. They can't be here physically, but their heart is here, their spirit's here. They feel a kindred spirit. And they'd be the first to say that we know Christ, and we know the Lord, and we love our church, we love our preacher, and we love everybody. But it's just not the same as being there. Lord, I am thankful that I'm able to be in the house of God today. Maybe you want to come just get around the altar and do that. Heavenly Father, today I want to thank you for the blessed privilege of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. I would be in hell today had it not been for the minister of the Holy Spirit of God convicting me of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and drawing me by your grace and saving me. Thank you that you saved me, but not only you saved me, that you've taught me as I've tried to follow you. And then thank you, Lord God, that you called me and anointed me to be a pastor and a preacher, to do the work of an evangelist. And God, I thank you, God, that you let me do those things. But God, I'm sure glad that I have a family. I'm glad I'm part of the family of God worldwide, but God, I'm glad I have a local church family. Nobody knows me as much as these people. Nobody loves me as much as these people. Nobody prays as much for me as these people do. And God, I know that's just not me. It's every member of this church. This is their family. We love one another. We pray one for another. We exhort one another. We forgive one another. We encourage one another. We prefer the brethren. We want to put them first. We want to meet their needs any way we can. God, I pray, God, that you'd help now for us to appreciate that, and God, to recommit ourselves to be faithful to the house of God in 2023. Every service we possibly can. God, I pray you do that, and we'll thank you.